We haven't done any video actual interviews yet.
Right.
We did an interview with Ronnie where he was on video, but Brian didn't record the video. I was like, all right, whatever.
Sweet.
Yeah, it's a thing.
Yeah, so what it was like a Norwegian guy, and he's like, well, can I get like your logo and like I'll at least put that up like where you would be? And so the entire interview is him sitting there talking to my
Resident Evil logo. Nice.
Well, you know, you come into my place here and we talk to you about
right on.
Yeah, freaking funny.
Yeah, it was pretty amusing. Yeah. So who is Alex Knaus? Well, he's just a disembodied logo.
Hey, I mean, it's a thing, right?
Yeah, exactly.
It keeps you incognito.
That's
important.
Right. So here we are. We're on Deads on the Podcast.
Yeah, we've been live for a minute.
Sweet.
So this is Deads on the Podcast. What did I say?
Warzone Edition.
Warzone Edition. That works. With myself, Rick, Alex, and Rick Supremacy.
It's Rick Talk.
I don't know. In the Dead Zone world, it's kind of Rick Supremacy right now.
That's right.
Only in the Dead Zone world.
That's for now.
Yeah, for now. Okay.
Welcome to the Dead Zone Podcast. Dead Zone is the sci-fi tabletop.
I mean, I'm undefeated in other games, too.
So what are you going to be in Warzone Eternal?
Oh, right now I am a observer.
You're an observer.
Until I play my first game and defeat my opponent, which I will, then I'll be a master.
Well, arguably, you are undefeated in Warzone Eternal as well.
Correct. Arguably.
So arguably. What are we going to talk about tonight, guys?
Well, just before we came in here, you and Alex, and for those that are listening, Alex is the president, owner, CEO, oversight committee, and many other hats for Res Nova Games, the current licensee holder for the Warzone IP.
Correct.
And coming out with Warzone Eternal. So again, thanks for being here, Alex.
Oh, absolutely. I'm happy to be here.
Yeah, but so speaking of that part, the Warzone Eternal IP part of it. So is it Mutant Chronicles Warzone, or is it just Warzone?
It's just Warzone.
Okay.
It's in the Mutant Chronicles universe. That is the larger IP. But the Mutant Chronicles universe, right, once encompassed Doom Trooper the card game, Siege of the Citadel, Fury of the Clansmen, Blood Ray board games, three different Mutant Chronicles RPGs at this point, a Super Nintendo game back in the day.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
And a movie.
A movie.
With Thomas Jane and Ron Perlman.
Ron Perlman. It's the only reason I know that movie
and
exists.
Some bad A chick who was... She had the vow of silence, I believe, in the movie until the part where she did not.
Until she
started
did not.
Killing people.
Well, you know... So speaking of killing people.
Yeah.
So Warzone, Warzone Eternal, specifically the license is for producing miniatures games set in the Mutant Chronicles universe.
Okay.
Which traditionally has been Warzone.
Warzone.
Right.
Okay.
Through its previous iterations.
And we were lucky enough, Rick and I guess that's Rick and Rick.
Yeah, Rick Tack was the observer. I was a spotter for a sniper. As you guys were showing you a little bit of a demo of how the rule sets go. You had a bunch of questions. He had a bunch of answers. I had a bunch of like sidebar humor, which is kind of my forte.
Kind of what you do.
Horribly. I do it horribly. I think a good way to like play this is, what was something that you found in the description of the demo, Rick, that you thought was like, oh wait, now that's a really cool aspect.
Well, actually, it's funny because there was a couple of them. So Warzone is Eternal, obviously a skirmish game. So we're looking at 10 to 12 models, right?
Yeah, I think in an average game, obviously you take a horde of undead legionnaires in your Eldroth force, and things change. But sure. But yeah, 10, 12 models would be a good average-sized game.
And one of the cool features that I saw in it, and I think at that model count, the reactions is just amazing. Can you walk us through how a reaction works in Warzone Eternal?
Sure. So for those people who've played Warzone before, you know, they'll be familiar with the fact that Warzone Eternal is an alternating activation game. I activate a unit, complete all of its actions, you activate a unit. And so the nice thing about that, about an alternating activation system, is it means that the opposing player is never really sitting around for a long period of time. Mm-hmm. But one of the things that we really wanted to do, right, we've seen a lot of, you know, games that have been developed in the 20-plus years since Warzone was first released. And there's, you know, additional, I want to call more modern, you know, design sensibilities. And so one of the things we wanted to do was really increase the fluidity of the game, right? Make the game super dynamic. And so one of the things that we added to that is a limited reaction system. And so the way this the reaction system works is there are a handful of triggering events that could occur in the game. And if those things do occur, then a model can react in some way. They could dive for cover away from a shot that's coming in at them. They can attempt to ambush somebody who moves across their line of sight. And in general, those reactions are limited to one per turn for each model. But it does give us opportunities through special abilities, unit synergies to do cool things where reaction counters get moved around or get removed so that somebody can react again later. So the reaction system ensures that, like, really at no point is either player
just sitting there.
They're always playing the game. But at the same time, it's a limited enough reaction system that it doesn't come to dominate the game, right? You go and you end up using your reaction counters, you know, fairly quickly.
I don't have to refer to a rule book and spend 15 minutes trying to, I'm reacting, but hold on real quick. I got to do this, and this.
Yep, exactly. So sure. So limited reactions to increase player agency, you have the opportunities to engage in the game, but not rules that become so overwhelming that they slow the game down.
Yeah. Nice. So one of the other things that I loved about it is, so I'm not a big dice guy. I don't like piles and piles of dice. So Warzone Eternal uses one dice.
Right.
And it's a D20.
Correct. Yep.
But you're going low versus high. How does that work?
So mechanically, how does it work? Or why do we do that?
A little bit of both, actually. Okay.
Yeah, so in general, all of your roles in Warzone have an assigned target number. And that target number is oftentimes just associated with the characteristic of a model. It's missile weapon score, it's leadership score, it's power rating, things like that. And so you're trying to roll equal to or under. The lower you roll, generally you're just trying to roll equal to or under.
Yeah.
If you roll a 1 in a lot of situations, you trigger some sort of critical effect. Conversely, if you roll a 20 in some situations,
it's
you
have negative. A fumble.
Yeah, exactly. and the reason that we did that is really it's just an homage to the original Warzone, right?
Oh.
Warzone used a D20, rolled low, and I mean, I loved it.
Oh, I thought you guys took it because you were big fans of Thaco. 2-hit armor class
0.
Absolutely.
Right.
I mean, I won't say that I'm not a fan of Thaco, but no, two different inspiration points.
Oh, my bad. Yeah. My bad. Okay.
But no, I mean, it's the way the system was originally devised, and that part didn't need to be updated or reworked, right? I mean, a D20, the nice thing is, you've got a lot of results, right? Every result is a, you know, 5 percentage point change from the next result, meaning that there's enough granularity in there that allows you to do smaller modifiers as well, right? You have a D6 system, you put a +1 or a -1 in, that's a, you know, 16 to 17 percentage point change. That's a massive swing.
Yeah.
So the D20 gives you, again, just a lot more granularity to have modifiers in there. And then again, it was in Warzone First Edition. I love Warzone First Edition, so there's no reason not to continue it.
So do you have, is there a lot more in your rule set from the first edition that you guys carried over?
So the stat line is really similar.
Okay.
There are a few things that have tweaked. The rating levels of the characteristics, right? The actual scores of the characteristics are a little bit different than first edition. The numbers in first edition tended to be really high. So models, like, for instance, would hit more often than not, and they would make armor saves more often than not. Okay. It still resulted in kind of the same. If you hit more often but save more often, it's kind of similar to hitting less often, right?
Yeah.
But a lot of that is similar. One of the things that we did, in first edition Warzone, most models had three actions, right? So yeah. They could do three things in a turn. And one of the things you would commonly see, players trying to take advantage of the flexibility of having three actions is they would move a model out of cover, they take a shot at an enemy, and then move a model back into cover, right?
Yep.
So, sure, you could fire three times, but this allows you to maintain that model for additional turns, right?
Yeah.
So we wanted to, for instance, capture something like that. But in general, we always found that three actions could lead to potential abuse. Or when you've got models with really big weapons, really powerful weapons, shooting three times a turn becomes almost a given, right? So
that's a lot of shots.
It's a lot of shots, yeah. So we wanted to try to figure out a way to represent that still, but mitigate some of that potential issue. So, for instance, models generally have two actions.
Yep.
But we introduced something called reposition, which allows a model to, once per activation, make a 2-inch move as long as they end up in base-to-base with cover of some sort. So what it does is allows us to replicate that type of that feel of the first edition activation of a model, but it does so in a way that constrains the ability to just sit there and obliterate a whole bunch of models with a heavy weapon.
Well, it seems like that also it helps that guy that's running for cover.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because if you do it at the end of your action, because you can do two move actions
yep.
as your two actions, right?
Yeah, you're not limited in
once per turn kind of thing
right.
when it comes to shooting and
exactly.
moving.
Yeah, you can move twice, you can shoot twice, you can make two melee actions. There are a lot of actions that you would not do more than twice a turn because there's no additional effect of doing so.
Sure.
Like you brace your heavy weapon. Well, you don't brace it a second time, you shoot for that second.
Or you reload.
Oh, yeah.
You don't double brace.
Double
right?
brace. Yeah, sure.
Exactly. I'm really going to make sure that this heavy machine gun is established firmly.
That's right.
But it definitely gives you that, if you're running for cover and you're just shy of that building, that doing that at the end of your turn allows you to get into that cover and you're safe.
Yep. Well, and the other thing that we kept doing, so, Brian Steele and I really, really focused a lot on trying to create, for lack of a better term, design spaces for us to play in, right?
Yeah.
So when we create something like a reposition, what it means is now we can introduce special abilities that maybe allow you to reposition further
sure.
or to reposition twice a turn or right. So every time you build a little subsystem in, it gives you a place that you could tweak that and allows you to create variability or variety amongst the unit types or the faction types in the game.
And change stuff coming out later.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, anyone who has ever played Warzone before knows that the catalog of potential units and special abilities is massive.
Well, one of the things I liked about it, and you mentioned this when you were given the demo, is it also gives you, for a game, a sense of realism too, right? There's always that, or cinematic realism, right? Where that unit is got to get to that cover. They just don't make it, but just before the round hits, they scooch that extra few inches to get out of the way,
yep.
right? And for someone that might be inclined to kind of think of their gameplay in that narrative, cinematic, storytelling sense, it lends to that, right? And I think that's kind of a neat aspect because I like the storytelling aspects of games. And
yes.
So that really, I was like, that's kind of cool. Because when you said if a heavy machine gunner walks out and just or is out in the open and just opens up three rounds of fire, I'm like, that's just gross. Right? I mean,
not for him.
It happens.
Sure.
And that person should die.
Yeah.
Because in combat, that's how that would work.
Yep.
Unless he eliminates everything on the field.
Right. No, and so that's great that you actually, from observing the game, kind of came away with that. Because that's absolutely one of the goals, right? I mean, the Mutant Chronicles universe, right? Like all of the artwork, all of the background for it, like has created this really visceral and visual world.
Yeah.
And so the point of playing Warzone is not just to play a game. It's to play a game set in this universe where these characters are doing these cool things. And so, yeah, personally for me, you know, cinematic gameplay, emergent narrative, that's what I want. Obviously, we have to create a game that is balanced and works well for gamers that are tournament or competitive oriented. But the primary purpose, for me at least, is very much to create a game that allows that stuff to occur.
To tell the story.
Exactly. To tell a story that maybe not that you had any idea of, but the dice and the actions of your opponent dictate how that story really develops.
Hey, I'm Chopper.
I'm Brian.
And I'm Rob.
From Mobile Armor Radio.
And you are listening to Dead Zone, the podcast with Rick and Brian in the morning.
Never heard of it.
I don't even know who those guys are.
I mean, is there... So, I know that some other miniature games have narrative events where after the tournament, you take all the results of, like... And you have the dark and the light within Warzone, right? And the Mutant Chronicles, and at the end, who succeeded the most? Was it the dark and the light? And that could play into the next narrative event based on.
So in Warzone, like, does one specific faction own Venus?
Depends on the iteration of the iteration. Canon.
Okay.
So, and we've been very clear, right, that we're going back to a first edition Warzone and second edition Mutant Chronicles role playing game version of the canon.
Okay.
Which means that a place like Venus is, while it's dominated by Bauhaus, has elements of every single faction in the game there.
So, right? from a story campaign kind of tournament setting. You could do a map of Venus and absolutely. At the end be able to see, okay, who actually controls this part of Venus now?
Yep. Based on a narrative play?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's cool. I like that.
No,
that's
awesome.
100%. I mean, that's the kind of stuff that we want to do, right, is we know that we can create a core game that is solid enough that you can just play it, you know, forever. But what we want to hang on top of that is variations in the way you play. And those variations in the way you play are going to be driven by things like you are now in the Graviton Archipelago. So you've got limited visibility because of rainstorms and, you know, difficult terrain to move through because the sucking mud is, you know, pulling the boots off your free marines.
It rains a lot in vain.
Exactly.
Sometimes it comes down sideways. Sometimes it comes straight up. I can't see nothing.
So kind of that fog of war.
And so being able to play in those different environments is something that first edition Warzone touched on a little bit. The Dark Eden book, which is a book that covered the corporations returning to Earth and, you know, trying to reestablish contact with the survivors on Earth. And so there's all sorts of environmental rules in there. Second edition Warzone was starting to go in that direction a little bit. The planned book for Mercury, which was going to cover the Mishima Corporation, was going to have rules for tunnel fighting because everything's underground, right? It's
all
beneath the surface of Mercury. But we never really we never really explored any of that stuff in those previous versions. So I know that that's a place that I really want to go. It's a place that Brian really wants to go with the continuing development of the game. But yeah, so new environments, new ways to play the game, new narrative directions for the game, and then, you know, new units, obviously, as we go forward. But yeah, no, 100%. The idea of creating a some sort of large global campaign where everybody is fighting over some small patch of Venus and that has some overarching effects, that'd be awesome.
I agree.
Oh, yeah.
That'd be awesome. So... What is we were going to talk about some lore tonight too.
We were. So I wanted to ask one more question about the game that we played.
Sure.
I had a lot of fun playing it. You brought up a couple times stat lines. Mm-hmm. So what are the stats? Are they the same for every unit? Is it a base kind of stat thing where it's their move and shoot and fight?
Yep, exactly right. Okay. So anyone who's played, well, really anyone who's played any miniatures game before will kind of understand what it represents. People who've played previous editions of Warzone will look at it and, you know, feel similar. Again, it's on a 20-point scale, right? Okay. But yeah, it's like, what is your close combat score, your missile weapon score? We introduce a defensive rating to kind of represent that some troops are just, you know, harder to target and hit, whether they're super fast or they're camouflaged or whatever. So there's a defensive rating in there. But yeah, then there's the power of the model, which represents kind of their willpower, which either gets triggered when you are a member of the Brotherhood and you're looking to cast a spell from the art, or you're a member of the Dark Legion and you're trying to cast a Dark Symmetry power, or if you're trying to resist one of those things, right? So power just kind of represents that like internal willpower, mental fortitude, okay, that kind of thing. There's a leadership stat, a wound stat, an armor stat, a strength stat. So again, all things that are very similar to what you had seen in previous iterations of Warzone. Again, the idea here is we're making a continuation of Warzone. The game should feel like this is developed by a team that was creating a successor, a new edition of Warzone.
Okay.
So
that's pretty awesome. Because, yeah, I had a lot of fun playing. I can't wait to play it some more.
Yeah, absolutely. And that was with only a limited...
A very small amount.
Yeah, limited variety of troops. So, there will be... Right when the Kickstarter launches, there's going to be many more unit types available.
Cannot wait.
Tens of more.
Tens of more. So let's take a break real quick, and then we'll come back and we'll talk some lore.
Awesome.
And welcome back.
you didn't want to turn it off and turn it back on?
No, I don't need to do that.
That's crazy.
Because Brian does that. Brian does all that part of it.
We'll take care of it in post.
I think the first 2 years of podcasting, Brian said that in every episode.
That is the one thing you never, in regards to video content.
And if fix not, it in post.
Well, if you're not the video editor, but you're the one that always says it.
Yeah.
So.
But, and he never did.
No, that's
like good. That was always part of the podcast, yeah, was him funny. Talking about it every time. He never took it out. Nice.
This is John Jack from Crippled Fox Gaming, and you are listening to the lovely and talented Rick and Brian on Dead Zone, the podcast.
That's awesome. So lore.
So I asked you this question a couple weeks ago, shortly after the last time we recorded. What is your favorite lore in the world of Warzone? And personally, I don't care what edition, because I'm still learning all of it. But it'll help us get an idea of where you want to go with your game, Warzone Eternal.
Sure. Yeah, so the lore is, again, for Mutant Chronicles, is massive. So favorite lore becomes a difficult question. But I'll zero in, and I mentioned it earlier in the podcast here.
Yes.
About the Graviton Archipelago region of Venus. And that, for me, has always been like the coolest setting in Warzone, right? Because you've got this collection of jungle-covered islands in the southern Venusian oceans. Capital has a naval port there, and so they tend to control the waterways. Bauhaus is continuing to try to kick them out. Mishima has staked a claim on islands in the area. Imperial, being Imperial, they're like, oh, we're just going to land right here, and now this is ours. So it's, and then of course the Dark Legion, it's really easy for them to establish a foothold because the jungle, the terrain is so dense and difficult to navigate that Dark Legion citadels can sprout up and no one has any idea. And so for me, Capital was always my favorite corporation, and it's not just because I'm some stereotypical American. it just there's a 1980s like action movie, American action movie style to Capital, right? I mean, they feel like a combination.
Sylvester Stallone, a little Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Exactly. I mean, they feel like the crew in Predator, right?
Oh,
like,
yeah.
You know, that's what Capital looks and feels like.
All right.
And so Capital was always my favorite faction. The Sea Lions were specifically my favorite unit. Partially, it's because they were the equivalent of the Free Marines, but stat-wise, the Free Marines were just, like, light years better. And so I always wanted to, like, you know, play the underdog. So I was like, I'm going to take Sea Lions instead. And narratively, right, background-wise, Sea Lions are, like, Warzone's version of the Navy SEALs. Or probably not quite that elite, but the idea of, like, an amphibious assault force, right? And so... Yeah. So you got the Sea Lions, and they're, you know, at the Port MacArthur, this naval base that Capital has, and, you know, it's again in this dense, inhospitable environment, and it just, like, everything about it just, like, this is cool. And so I remember when we were playing, you know, early first edition Warzone, right? I was, like, buying books on, like, the Vietnam Brownwater Navy, and I was, like, kit bashing, like, Capital patrol boats to, like, drop off my Sea Lions. And, nice. You know, it was a cool, cool environment. So without question, that is my favorite part of the Warzone universe. And no, you know, mystery here. We will be diving into the Graviton Archipelago at some point.
Very nice. So when you talk about the Venus is covered in rainforests and all that stuff, how did that happen?
Well, so part of it is, right?
Okay.
So Venus is the most varied climate of all of the terraformed planets in...
So kind of most similar to Earth?
Yeah, exactly. Right. So there's, like, you know, there's polar ice caps. There are, you know, large expanses of grasslands and that, but you get to the equator and it is dense jungle. And so that, now, obviously Venus is closer to Earth. I mean, Venus is closer to the sun. We're not going to get into science because none of this actually makes sense.
It's not a science thing.
Right. But the general idea is that Venus is a warmer planet than Earth, right? So the equatorial kind of jungle zone is much bigger in Venus than it is on Earth.
Sure.
But yeah, so it's not all jungle. That was kind of a second edition Warzone thing where, you know, Bauhaus owns Venus and it's all jungle, it's kind of a simplification of things. We liked the variety and the nuance of the original lore.
I was just looking up something when you were talking about the Sea Lions. It reminds me of SWCC. Which is the Navy Special Warfare Combatant Crew, which they are the guys that go in river on the rib boats and do, assaults.
Yeah, no, exactly. So
they play with the SEALs, they play with Marine Recon, you know, they bring the big bads or the baddies into the zone to go fight the stuff. You know, that's kind of cool.
Absolutely. And so,
I mean, you brought it up, so is that something that's potentially coming to Warzone Eternal as vehicles? I know, I just threw you on the spot.
Yeah, I'm gonna table that for right now.
All right.
I mean,
makes sense.
Part of it, right, is we're doing a skirmish game.
Yes.
And so when we start talking about vehicles, the question becomes, what type of vehicles are you talking about, right? There's, there's like...
I just want a little ATV.
Well,
that's all I want.
So, I mean, you know, Bauhaus had a little ATV. They also had, like, a hovercraft in another version. Capital had, like, one or two person, like, jet cycles, right?
Oh, okay.
They could support. But at the same time, I mean, early Warzone had they had a licensing deal with a company called Forge World, which is the Forge World prior to Games Workshop's Forge World. It was a competitor to, contemporary of Armorcast, back in the '90s, and so they produce, for instance, the Bauhaus Grizzly, which is a battle tank that has, like, a crew of, like, 40, and the model that they made is, with no exaggeration, probably at least 15 pounds of resin.
Holy crap!
So you start talking about things like that, and obviously that's odd, but that almost becomes a battlefield all on its own.
Yeah.
So yeah, I mean, we fully intend to do things like, the Mishima Mecha, the Cybertronic Eradicator, Those types of like vehicles, small vehicles,
the small
will absolutely be in the game at some point.
At some point,
yep. But yeah, there's a whole range of really cool vehicles in the lore, but trying to figure out how to make those work in a skirmish game without
either, it's tough.
Yeah, without them either becoming overwhelmingly powerful or so completely irrelevant that no one's going to take them.
Yeah.
Now, that being said, we like models, so just making vehicle models just to have cool-looking vehicle models will probably be on the plate at some point.
I like that.
I mean, you know, it's the whole scenery thing.
Like legacy-scale models of vehicles that are part of the lore, part of the world, but not necessarily playable.
Right, or...
Yeah, the Grizzly, scenario-based. I want one now.
Yeah, oh, it's awesome.
Just to put on, like, my desk, on the top of my desk.
Well, I mean, it would actually be, like... one of the supports for your desk.
it could be my coffee table.
Right, exactly. Right? Yes. My side table. Yeah, yes.
But I like that kind of stuff. You know, when you think about models that could be introduced into something like this, and we've talked about this before, because there are named characters within the Warzone universe.
Oh, lots of them.
Right? But, you know, a lot of pro painters like doing busts.
Right.
Right? And I'm those are obviously... things. I've picked up a brush before and I've painted, so obviously I'm a pro.
Yeah. Yes, you are.
It's a very small step.
Right, and I've judged contests. I've judged PAX's painting competition.
Well, it's like a 3-foot step. It's not really that
far. Right, and exactly. And, knowing that could be a possibility of, like, you know, getting any named character's bust as a project piece is pretty cool.
Absolutely. I mean, and that's the nice thing, right, is there's... Again, anyone who's a fan of this universe knows Paul Bonner's artwork, and you know everybody wants to see that replicated. And that, to a certain extent, right, you can try to capture that in miniature form, but something like a bust, right, that's where you capture that perfectly, mm-hmm. right? It gives you the larger canvas in order to do so.
It can definitely do a better emotion on faces. Like we're looking at a couple books here. Everybody that's listening to the podcast, if you could just take a look to the in front of you, you won't see it. But like the cover of Dawn of War, this gentleman that's the main person here.
That would be Mitch Hunter.
Mitch Hunter. I mean, what a great name.
Exactly.
Right? It's strength, and it speaks to Predator, right? Yep. But his face, he's got some war wounds going on there, right? And to see just that image as a bust would be sick.
It'd be awesome. Yeah. Right. No, I mean, there's no question that this universe again is just absolutely rich with imagery that we want to capture, and we want to capture it in gameplay. We want to capture it in the figures that we make. We want to capture it in whatever opportunities we can.
Nice.
Cardinal Dominic of Luna.
Yes, sir.
What's this guy?
The Sheriff of Luna. So Cardinal Dominic would be one of the cardinals of the Brotherhood, and he's specifically responsible for the cathedral on Luna. Luna being the first real settlement that the corporations established after fleeing Earth, after they destroyed it. So Dominic is the current cardinal of Luna. And yeah, so he's known as the Sheriff of Luna.
Nice. Sheriff of Luna.
It's super cool.
What's up, everyone? I'm Andrew.
And I'm Coach.
From Family Gamers 777 on YouTube.
And you are listening to Dead Zone the Podcast with Rick and Brian.
Do you think they'll be upset that our audio is better than theirs?
Nah. Rick will probably just laugh it off. Told you.
With all this, knowing we've touched on like your favorite lore piece, we've touched on the miniature skirmish demo
that
you did just before we came on the podcast. But the one thing that I know a lot of listeners, both new listeners through the Dead Zone podcast and obviously the plethora of fans of Warzone already, are interested in the Kickstarter.
Yes, sir.
Right, which is coming, and we'll continue
coming to talk fast.
And we'll talk about this multiple times leading up to it here for sure. But what is something that? Okay, let me take a step back. So, for those of you that don't know, you did a Kickstarter already, but you wanted to bring a better show to the game, right? And so you pulled it down, even though it successfully funded, if it would have went to its completion date.
Well, it actually funded in the first day.
Right, which is
oh, really?
Great sign.
That's awesome.
The fan base is there.
Is super loyal.
Yeah, absolutely.
Right? So you took it down because you wanted to bring them something better. And and I know because I'm you know, behind the scenes, kind of know some stuff going on.
Just a little bit.
But what is something that is better that we can talk about that is coming to the next, to the new launch?
So the most significant thing, right? So the rules, first off, this has given us an entire year to continue playtesting and tweaking the rules. So so the rules are tighter. But at the same time, there's still the preview that we pushed out as part of the Kickstarter last year. Those rules are still 90% there. So the idea that people got about the game, that's still accurate. But the vast majority of the work that we did was on the figures.
Okay. Right?
And so our original plan was we really wanted to try to create a tight product line, right? So every faction was going to get one box set that allowed you to build models from two different unit types with all the specialists. And I still love that idea, right? Because you get this box set just filled with toys. And I think that's cool. But not everyone thinks that's cool.
Right.
And, you know, some people looked at that and said, well, this is just a lot of extra stuff I can't use. Now, of course, you're paying for it, right? Because we can't give you the extra stuff for free. So it did bump the price up a bit. We're still averaging $8 a model, which is pretty industry standard.
Yeah.
But still, so we recognize that we could get price points down on a per model basis, and we could also make models, if we were not making them modular now, we could make models that were more dynamic looking, right? Models that are in cooler poses. And so almost every single model in the range was either slightly resculpted or we just tossed them out completely and started over. And so that was a massive undertaking. Every faction that we were originally going to have in the last Kickstarter got at least one additional unit that we've sculpted.
Nice.
So for instance, you know, Bauhaus in the original starter or the original unit box was going to be able to build Venusian Rangers or Blitzers. Now you will have Venusian Rangers, Blitzers, and Etoiles Mortan.
Nice.
And the Venusian Rangers and Blitzers, because they're not based on the same body anymore, can have the detailed differences that really kind of distinguish them, right? For those people who insisted that Venusian Rangers have to have hooded cloaks, well, multiple of the new models have hooded cloaks.
Hooded cloaks.
Nice.
Exactly.
So you listened to the community, too.
We did. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, it was not always joyful to do so.
Sure.
But yeah, we put out a survey afterwards and we asked people, like, let us know what you thought. Did you back? Why didn't you back? If you backed, what would have made you back more? And we took that feedback, we took that advice and decided, like, hey, which are things that we think, though, would actually have contributed to the Kickstarter doing better or creating the product that we wanted? And then ultimately, right, this was an opportunity for us to just redo something that I'm really passionate about. And I knew that we could do a more interesting job. And then the last thing, right, is, and we've mentioned this already to the Warzone Facebook group, but, you know, to reiterate it here, it also gave us a chance to add a seventh faction to the Kickstarter.
Oh, nice.
So now the Brotherhood. So speaking of the Cardinal.
Yeah.
So the Brotherhood is in the Kickstarter, which means that we have all five corporations, we have the Brotherhood, and we have Elgaroth, which is the most warlike of all the Dark Legion Apostles.
Nice.
So, you know, absent the four other sibling Dark Legion Apostles, I mean, we will be coming to the Kickstarter with the vast majority of the factions of the Warzone universe represented.
Very nice. Very nice.
And you mentioned the landing page for the preview, not so much preview, but where people can get the alert
yep.
when it goes live is up.
It'll be up by Monday.
By Monday. So
for so by the time this releases, yes. It'll be up.
Absolutely. So, oh, yeah, yes. I forget about this time delay thing about a recording of a podcast.
Yeah.
So that means that for everybody listening, make sure that you're following the Warzone Facebook page, Resnova Facebook page. Join the Facebook group for the Warzone fan page or fan group.
Warzone Eternal.
Warzone Eternal fan group, so that you can, when that announcement is dropped with the link, you can jump on and be one of the first ones to get that alert when it does go live.
Yep, absolutely.
One of the things I'm super excited about the Kickstarter, which he hasn't mentioned at all tonight, but I know about, and I'm super excited about it.
I love the look on Alex's face right now.
I mean, it was just a workshop thing that that some of the people that didn't include Alex in the conversation kind of threw out there.
All right.
But I thought it would be really cool as a stretch goal, and everybody should vote on this. Let's put a poll up. Should we get an audio book version of the rules in ASMR?
Oh, my God.
As narrated by Alex with his soft radio voice.
Oh, boy. Good luck with that one.
Yeah. It would just be an add-on. You don't have, you sure. Know, everybody would get it. If you back it, you get this this really cool ASMR. Welcome to Warzone Eternal.
Does it come with, like, a couple candles as well that you can light when you listen to it?
Yeah. Well, God. I don't know. For as you are reading it, you should have some candles just to set the ambiance for you.
I gotcha.
Whatever they want to do when they listen to it.
Sure.
We don't want to ask those questions.
All right. Yeah. Okay. Right. Fair enough. Fair enough.
But, you know, with his radio voice on there, you're talking about, you know, everybody's going to hear that, you know.
Oh, boy.
In reactions.
Dive for cover.
Dive for cover. You get three action or two actions with a potential for the cover.
Oh, my. Where did we go?
I don't know.
I just think that would be a great add-on. And, we've already workshopped it, Brian and Jake and I. Okay. I'm just saying.
Okay.
So you just got to sit there.
I guess so.
Yeah, we'll bring you in here and we'll shut the door.
With the light.
And we'll give you the book and we'll add some, like, explosions in the background so it sounds like you're in a combat zone.
So when we're at Adepticon, everyone's like, where's Alex? Well, he's in the hotel room upstairs recording
something for the Kickstarter.
So, speaking of Adepticon.
Yes, sir.
That's like 2 weeks from right now.
Yes.
When this releases, it's like a week away.
Yeah, you're right.
Are you ready?
No. I mean, yes, but no. I mean, it's... Right, it's super intimidating. This is it's a number one. It's one of my absolute favorite shows in the world. Right, I absolutely love Adepticon. I've been going for years as as a consumer, as a gamer. But so now we're gonna go there. We're gonna have a booth.
Yeah.
Resnova has exhibited at shows before, but this is different, right? This is we're not just going to like PAX and Plug like we've done before and shown off a game that's in process, right? This is. We're going there and we're saying, this is it. This is the results.
The game.
Yeah, this is the results of a lot of effort. A lot of people have worked hard on this thing. And so...
It's the premier miniature show in the Midwest, if not the United States.
I think it's absolutely in the United States. Well, okay, I don't want to speak... I'm sure Nova Open or LVO
Nova Open is great. LVO is also great.
Yep.
But
yep.
When it comes to Midwest, we can absolutely say it's the premier Midwest
show. Midwest is definitely
ours. No question.
Yeah.
So just the kind of the intimidation of that. But, I mean, it's also the first time we're running public demos, right? I mean, at this point right now, the game has been played a ton, but it's been played a ton by a small group of people, right? All of our play testers, the development team, my friends, but that's been it. We're about to run demos in front of whoever decides to walk up to the booth.
Yeah,
we're gonna have prototype examples of every single model from the faction starters that we are releasing at the Kickstarter.
Really?
Yeah, that's awesome.
That's awesome.
So. If you want to see what the range looks like now, you want to see what models are going to be in the starter sets, they will be there on display, and we should have at least a couple of those also painted to as part of the display.
Very nice.
So I mean it's a lot.
Yeah,
and there's a lot going on with the booth as well, right? And people come up and they show us that they're signed, or if they sign up for the Kickstarter. Yep. Info that they might walk away with a hug or something. right? Which is priceless in this industry. So, or something else. Who knows? Yeah.
Or something else.
Yes, absolutely. Right.
Yeah. While supplies last. Hugs.
Yeah.
And where exactly are you guys going to be at Adepticon?
We're booth 904.
Nice.
904.
Yes, sir.
And I'm guessing that a lot of people that listen to this on both sides, the fans of Dead Zone and the fans of Warzone that are going to listen to this, are going to be there. And if you are, you know, we obviously want you to stop by so you can meet Alex. Maybe he'll sign your shirt or something or your badge, right, which would be really cool.
And kind of a little overlap with Dead Zone Romantic, right? At least one of the nights I'll be going to get out with some of my buddies to play Armada. So
nice. Yeah.
There is, right? It's all about the love for miniatures gaming.
So that
you're going to get to play something there?
So that tournament
one night.
And Jake is bringing his I don't know what that game is. Horse Heresy. Army. I was thinking about just bringing a commander deck for the Magic.
But might as well.
You mean you're not going to bring your Marauders for Dead Zone?
I do have them put together. I just got to paint them. That's true. I don't want to go there and show up everybody that's out there playing because,
yeah.
And plus, I have to have them fully painted by then.
Yes.
And I'm prepping for my own stuff. Right? And by my own stuff is, we talked about that on other shows. So we're not here for that.
We're not here for that.
We're going to be running the booth. All day long. Hopefully we'll be getting a chance to hang out with the people that we've been working with on this project or whoever else comes up and says, I love Paul Bonner artwork. But it's Adepticon. You gotta throw dice and move miniatures.
You gotta do it at some point. Yeah.
At least once.
All right, shoot.
Yeah.
And that doesn't count when you're doing a demo, Rick.
No.
Well, I mean, if you're demoing another game, maybe. But the one you're doing.
If I go over to another booth that's doing demos and I play a game at their booth, that counts.
It does, yeah.
Okay, yes, great. Then I'll get a couple in.
Sure.
I'm sure. Because there's probably going to be something there. I'm going to be like, ooh, that looks cool. And it's kind of funny not to, like, skip a beat off of Warzone here. But I need to learn how to play Malifaux better.
Malifaux is an amazing game.
And I happen to, like, have every miniature.
Yep. It's actually one of the games that I want to learn.
I love it. Playing it since first edition, that is a spectacular game. I mean, I'm terrible at it. So I think that says something, right? I am terrible at it, but I still play it.
Sure. But what does that say about me, considering I run their TikTok? Right?
Well, what it says is you absolutely need to get some miniatures on the table.
I do. I built so many of them, and I've painted a bunch of them, and I will admit my favorite faction in that one is the Relic Hunters.
I
think they're great, but I need to learn how to play it, and I think that will be my Adepticon experience.
Heck yeah.
That's a good Adepticon experience.
Kelly, who works for Weird, who will be there, and Nathan, mm-hmm. they'll be like, you're kidding us, right?
Yeah.
Yep. No, absolutely.
And getting also to demo the game that we're going there to demo is going to be mm-hmm. fun for me as well, because I think people will recognize that, oh, this guy doesn't do a lot of this stuff. Right? But he's really passionate about it, and he's really handsome. Right. So
yeah, there's no question you are going to be a Warzone expert by the time that we're done.
Oh, absolutely.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
It is you cannot run demos for 4 days and not
memorize everything.
Yes.
Right. I won't even need any stat line cards.
You won't. Like,
when it all comes out, I'll just be like, oh yeah. So yeah, no, that's a three.
Yeah.
That's a 23 armor. No. Yeah, look at your card.
Right.
Yeah, go ahead.
What do it say? Just like that.
It's 23. It says 23, doesn't it? Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
So personally, I know one of the things that I'm curious about, right, is the last time I went to a convention and stood around for 8 hours a day, 4 days in a row, demoing Warzone, I was 20. I was a much younger man, able to stand on cement floors for 8 hours a day.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
So
I think we need to get a couple of those squares of foam.
Yeah.
That we can just strategically placed within the booth, only for the staff, right?
Only for the staff.
Right, and the reason I say that is because it's demo. We don't want people standing around forever. We want them to come in. We want them to play the game. We want to give them a little taste of it. You know, give them a little taste. Yeah, here's your taste. Go away. Come on. Come back when the Kickstarter launches. Yeah. You know, but hey, can't we have you standing around? We got more people here we got to show this to and give them a little taste.
So I think that was kind of the advantage of Brian and I have at Adeptcon, because we're not down on the concrete. We're upstairs in the Utopia room the entire time. So it's a little bit better on our feet.
Yeah, absolutely.
A little bit.
And you got chairs, too.
Yes.
You're lucky.
Yes, chairs. That's a thing. So speaking of Brian and Utopia Room, before we sign off, I want to shout out a challenge to the Dead Zone the Podcast listeners and the Warzone Eternal listeners, that if you go to your booth, what was the number again?
904.
Oh, 904. ASMR voice right there,
guys. And get a demo, and then go up to Brian in the Utopia Room and let him know, you'll get entered into a drawing from Dead Zone the Podcast for some special swag.
That's cool.
Sweet.
Nice.
Am I allowed down there?
Is it a hug?
It's not a hug from Rick.
Fine.
I mean, you could possibly enter.
Yeah, I probably shouldn't. That's okay.
If Brian shows you how to play Dead Zone, then you can enter.
Oh, ooh. I think that's fair.
That's a complete fair way to do it.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
You don't get to do it, Rick, because you already know how to play Dead Zone. You're a master.
I am a master, right?
And after Adeptcon, you're going to be a master of Warzone Eternal.
Oh, absolutely. You know what I was thinking is, even if I don't get an opportunity to like go and play, like truly play a full game of any you know, miniature game, I could paint some stuff while I'm there.
Oh.
I could go for a raffle.
Yeah.
Right? And paint.
Absolutely.
And maybe put something into the brush with death competition. Right?
No. That...
Because I'm not doing the Crystal Brush or the Golden Demon. I don't know if they have that there.
Oh, it's a Golden Demon.
Demon is there, yes.
I will pass.
Yeah. No, I mean, that paint and take setup, the Wapple, four Wapple, that is one of the greatest things in the existence of conventions.
Yeah. And also, you know, show support for Kathy.
Absolutely.
Right, so.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, for those of you who don't know, it is a significantly sized... open paint area. They have racks of paints from multiple manufacturers, lights set up. You can just plop down paint. You see people scrambling to finish stuff for their army.
One aisle they need for the next 15 minutes.
Yep. Or, I mean, you see people finishing up their Golden Demon entries there.
Yep.
Or literally just somebody like, exactly what you're talking about. I just bought this set of miniatures. I'm going to crack it open and just sit down because I need to not be walking around, and I need to just
feet
find
are killing
a,
me.
Feet are killing me.
Or your wallet's
killing
you. I just
need to find a quiet place for the next couple hours.
Yeah, it's a pretty cool setup.
Yep.
Yeah. And this will be my first Adepticon, so I'm really excited for that. Ooh. And it's so funny is there's not too many people as far as the industry there that I don't know.
Yeah.
And they're all like, how have you never been to this show? which is super funny, and I'm really excited for that aspect of it. But painting is where my heart lies. Mm-hmm. I'm not great at it, but I enjoy it, and I like interacting with other painters at those events.
Heck yeah.
I think Eric Swinson's going to be there, and he's a good friend, and I'm sure he's entering in the Golden Demon. You know, because he just won the big tournament or event over in Italy.
Okay.
He got the best overall.
Wow.
First American to ever get it.
Man.
So
I really hope, that's the one thing I'll have to bug you, Alex, and Brian about, because the kid that was in my Armada tournament last year that entered in the Golden Demon, I want to know if he does it again.
Nice.
Yeah. So that it's the son of a good friend of mine.
Yeah.
I'll have to check in to see whether or not he's entering again.
Yeah, I want
to
know.
That's what we said to him. Because
that was amazing.
This would be his last year to do it, to enter the Youngbloods. And so we told him, you've got to defend your place.
Oh,
so,
did he get one?
Yeah, he took first place in the Youngbloods. Yeah.
Dang. And his paint job was gorgeous.
Of course.
It was amazing.
It was cool. Yeah, he was sitting in the hotel room, like exactly like we're talking about. Like,
yeah.
Last minute adjustments to it. He's like, I don't know if I should enter it. I'm like, no, you go downstairs, enter it. You know, just step up. And he took first and it was awesome.
Good for him.
Yeah, he was super excited. So I hope he is. I'll check in with Mark to see whether or not his kid is doing it.
Cool.
What that tells me is that Warzone is going to have its own painting competition eventually.
Hey, baby steps, okay?
I'm just saying. Throwing it out there.
All right.
Well, with that, I think that's a wrap for this episode. Cool. Thanks for listening, and don't forget to follow us on all the social medias. And now add Rest Nova and Warzone Eternal to your social media finds.
Yes. And by that, if they are going to Adepticon, they come up to the booth and show us that they follow Res Nova or follow Warzone or at the socials, they may get raffle tickets at the booth too.
Four raffles?
For something pretty cool and pretty exclusive.
Yo. Very nice.
Yep.
They're going to get all kinds of stuff. Yeah. Just go to Adepticon, you're going to get stuff.
The potential is there for them to get some stuff.
Yes. Definitely.